For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
We here with the agents, we just spent time with them. Our nation has never been so at risk, and their job has never been harder. Those brave men and women risk their lives every day to protect the American citizens from the consequences of illegal border crossings. Together, we bear witness to the worst border crisis in the U.S. history. There has been more than 4 million illegal border crossings since Joe Biden has taken office. That's not the worst part. Now that Title 42 may end, we're bracing for a tsunami. People talk about 18,000 crossings in a day. That would mean 13 million more illegal crossings for the rest of the term of Joe Biden, if nothing changes. Think about that. 17 million more illegal entries into our country.
And welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arps show. It's 5:08, and in the studio with me is Stell on the Wheels of Steel, and of course, Paul Kirkman filling in for my partner, Tim Jones, who is in Washington, D.C. at the annual ALEC conference. Paul Kirkman is host of the Paul Kirkman Show from noon to one every single Saturday. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing great.
You know, it's only Tuesday, and I'm putting you on the spot a little bit, but do you have guests lined up or anything?
No, not yet. I'll be honest with you. Usually this show comes together hours before we do it, because anything can happen.
I know the
all
feeling.
Week long, you know?
I know the feeling. You know, Kevin McCarthy there, who is making a lot of tough talk on China and a lot of tough talk on the border. He is in a tough race to try to secure 218 votes to be the next Speaker of the House. Stell, is he doing it for you? Is this working?
No, not really.
Not really?
No. Although I do appreciate the fact that he seems to have grown a little bit of a backbone here over the last couple of weeks, and I'm all for that. I'm just skeptical as to whether this is for real or is he just putting on a show, because as you said, mm-hmm. you know, it's almost like a job.
Mm-hmm.
What's the word I'm looking
interview?
For? It's like a job interview kind of thing, and I'm hesitant to get back on board with him, to be honest.
You know, we've been hearing for months about all of the illegal migrants that are heading north from Central and South America. You know, occasionally when the media wants to do their job, they do talk about other immigrants, illegal migrants that are entering the southern border. We hear reports all the time of prayer rugs and Qurans being found in the desert. If you remember a while ago, Haitians were making their way through the southern border. Well, New York Times, guys, has a story out that says, guess who else are making their way to the southern border? They are anti-war Russian activists who do not want to serve in the war with Ukraine. Paul, somehow they are finding their way to America, and they are crossing into the border. But to the administration's credit, they are stopping them, and they're not allowing them to enter the country. You know, one of the activists said here in this report that I left oppression, and now I'm coming to oppression, which, like, dude, you're not going to get a lot of sympathy here talking about America is oppressive.
You know what, though? I'm just saying, from the position of a tactician, which at one time is been with the Marine Corps for several years. If I was Putin, I'd be like, here's an opportunity to get a bunch of Russians in the U.S. Send them over there as refugees. That would be a good way to get them in there, get them welcome, get them close to these institutions of government, or say maybe some influencers or whoever else. Because I mean, how in the world does a Russian, well, I mean, of all places to go, right?
Yeah.
Why would you want to come to America? Why wouldn't you just want to stick around one of these countries close to Russia, where a lot of people still speak Russian, but at least you're still out of Russia? I mean, all the way to the U.S., I'm sure some people would want to do it. Hey, I might want to do it. Yeah. But I'm just saying, certainly also looks like an opportunity to get some people. Isn't this not why Russia wanted the UN headquarters in New York?
I have to admit, Paul, when I first saw this story, you know, of course your heart goes out that these people are fleeing a war zone and wow, they go through all of this trouble to get to America. But my second thought was, are these potential spies that Vladimir is sending over to our country?
The Russians aren't stupid. And I remember one of the big reasons why a lot of people were so eager to have the UN headquarters in New York City, because then our opponents during the Cold War could legally get their people to the U.S. Other people who have an interest in spying on the U.S. could get their people to the U.S. So anyway, not to say that this is actually what's happening. However, I think we should be stopping these people and anybody else who's trying to cross the border illegally. For the same reason.
Not playing completely devil's advocate here. This is not my position. But can you make an argument that, you know, all these other people are coming into the country illegally and we're giving them green cards and we have special programs? Can this be a propaganda coup for the United States to allow these people in that are fleeing Putin? And, you know, you're not a democratic country. They want to come to America. They want to be free. Look at all the perils that they had to go through to get here. Could this be a propaganda coup for the United States and we should let them in?
Well, I'm going to give you a different perspective. China's been doing it for years in our universities.
Yeah.
And I can't
tell
you.
Birth tourism, too.
I've gone to three different Big Ten universities over the last 20 years. The last one was U of I, Champaign-Urbana. And I was amazed to see how many students were there from the Far East.
Yeah.
And it totally overwhelmed me. We were on campus for an entire Saturday with our niece playing volleyball there from Louisville. Louisville was playing was playing University of Illinois. We had time to go around campus. I was amazed to see just an overflow of students from the Far East. And then you look at, and Paul, you brought this up, and I'm going to make the comment here that China contributed over $70 million to the Biden Center in Pennsylvania, also contributed multi-millions to the University of Delaware for their Biden Center, and Delaware will not say where that money came from and how much was contributed, but it's common knowledge in Delaware that the money came from China. So the infiltration's there, and as you said,
they got their spies sleeping with congressmen.
Bang, that's bang.
True. Yep.
You know, they call this, and you're right, Stelle, they have been doing this for years where they've been setting up these think tanks on our college universities, and they call them quote-unquote Confucius centers or what they're calling. And you're right, too, Stelle. I read this in the Wall Street Journal a few years ago that wealthier Chinese are engaging in birth tourism. That when the woman is 7 or 8, 9 months pregnant, there are companies over in China that set up tours where you can come to the United States. Here's the hospital that you will be staying in so that you give birth to an American citizen and then you fly back home. That is has been a big industry.
You're right about that. Yes.
Wow.
You didn't know? Did you,
I'm
you
seeing
know
dollar signs right now. That it probably is a huge industry.
Yeah. And, you know, China has 1.5 billion people. They have a lot of people, and the vast majority of them are poor, don't have a lot of means. But China has a very wealthy upper class that you see the pictures over there, and they're driving Mercedes and BMWs and shopping at Tiffany's. And
are we like the only country that does that too? Hey, if you're born here, you immediately get citizenship.
I think so. I think we are the only country that does that.
I feel like we should pay attention to why is nobody else doing this? Because it seems like that would be a really good way to just get whoever you wanted legal access.
Yeah, I think that rule, birthright citizenship, I think that was based on an honor system that we don't have anymore. And I think there should be some type of regulations on it. You just can't, you know.
You can't just sneak over, have a kid, and now, bam, you're an American citizen.
Or even plan it. Like I said, these Chinese, they plan vacations. They call it literally birth tourism.
Yeah.
And they come here and have kids. You know, one other thing too, we talked about Haiti, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Paul. The United States is, because the economic situation in Haiti is so bad, the United States is worried that Haitians may flee and boats and other floating things to get here to the United States. The Biden administration wants to put together a multinational force to stop these people from coming to the United States, but there won't be any United States soldiers in this multinational force stopping people from coming to the United States. He wants other nations to be involved in that. What's your thoughts?
I don't know how he's going to convince other people to do it, first off. The second thing is I listen, if you don't want people coming in and you want to stop it and you want to put together some kind of force, is this not what we have been advocating for a long time? Build the wall.
Yeah.
You know, equip our Border Patrol with the resources that they need to do the job instead of, mm-hmm. you know, blaming them and or using them as a scapegoat or as a political tool, you know, to advocate open borders yeah. or whatever the case may be.
Paul, do you think it's a duplicitous policy that if Haitians are fleeing their part of the island for economic reasons, but Cubans, if they're fleeing oppression, that if the Cubans, if they can make it to United States waters or shores, they are granted asylum, but Haitians are sent back because they are economic migrants instead of political dissidents? Well, should we change that?
That's a good question. I completely understand the idea of being a refuge for people who are fleeing oppression. And I don't just mean, oh, we don't like our country because economic mobility is hard to find. I'm talking about oppression where you literally don't have the ability to worship. You know, it's oppression like they remove you from your parents and there is no family unit like mm-hmm. we see in North Korea. I am totally fine with America being a safe haven for people that need to find their freedom. But if somebody doesn't like their economic situation, what I don't like is, well, then just go to America. Because what that's going to do for people around the world is it's going to completely undermine the principles of self-preservation or the principles of them wanting to mm-hmm. find that, you know, that come into play when somebody needs to find their own economic mobility. And that can actually make the situation worse in places like Haiti yeah. when the best and the brightest can't find a way up higher, so they just leave. It's not going to do anything in the long run, I don't think, for Haiti.
And that's what happened. I mean, you have to feel so sorry for Haiti. I mean, that country has been a backwards third world country since it gained independence, and it really hasn't ever really improved. And what happens in so many of these desperate countries, they end up getting these leaders to rob and pillage the country while the rest of the people suffer. And the people deserve better than that. It saddens me as a person of African descent to see people so close to the United States, which is the most powerful, prosperous country in the world, having to live in absolute squalor. It saddens me.
We make it worse, too. I think it was John Quincy Adams that said that we should be a light, you know, for the world to see, like, this is how you do things, you know, give the people freedom. But what we do these days, what we've been doing now for probably the greater part of a century at this point, is we'll find people that need help, right. and we'll just walk right in with everything they need, whether it's foreign aid that comes in the form of money, or if it comes in the form of food. And who do we give it to? We give it to whoever's in charge. Yeah. And probably by us doing it that way, we've also created more warlords and funded more authoritarians or bad guys because then they just take it and they use it against their own people. I mean, even the way that we look at our humanitarian efforts around the world in many cases maybe helps a little bit, but with all the resources that we're offering, if we could just be a little bit better stewards of how we administer that, we could probably do a lot more good for the people that are there.
Because a lot of people misunderstand when they see the famines in Ethiopia and other parts of Africa. They think it's global warming, the soil's bad, they didn't get enough rain, which is part of it, but most of it, it's just pure corruption. I mean, they get enough aid to be able to feed these folks, but they steal it, and they sell mm-hmm. it on the black market to others. And it's
they're not just passing out bags of rice. Like, if we show up on the shores of Somalia, mm-hmm. you know, if the Marines show up like they did in the early 90s mm-hmm. with all this food, that just wound up in the hands yeah. of the people that had the guns. Exactly. And then they used that and basically extorted or otherwise bribed their way yep. into more power while everybody else continued to starve. So we just got to do better about it.
You don't think any of that's going on in the Ukraine, do you?
There's probably a few dollars that have grabbed some legs.
Not only am I skeptical about where all that stuff is going, but I don't know if you recall a couple of months ago, a plane crashed in Greece mm-hmm. that was filled with military mm-hmm. hardware from Ukraine. I'm not sure where it was headed, but I remember it crashed in Greece. And it just kind of floated off the news pages. Hardly anybody mm-hmm. covered it. And my suspicion, maybe because I'm Greek, was that something's fishy here. What's the deal with all of this military hardware mm-hmm. being flown somewhere else and the plane happened to crash in Greece? So, yeah, I'm wondering, Paul, like you said, where's this stuff going? I'm not sure.
Let's talk about this when we come back. 314-912-1019. I'd be curious to know, Stell, and I ask you the question first off, does it make a difference if a little of the money is siphoned off as Russia is winning or if Ukraine is winning and they are keeping their freedom? Does it matter in a little money? Got siphoned off.
You want me to answer
nope.
that after the break?
When we come back. 314-912-1019. I want to hear from you on the Tim Jones and Chris Sarb Show on 119-941 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
And welcome back to Motown Tuesday, I guess, on the Tim Jones and Chris Sarb Show. Did we extend Motown for an additional day?
Well, Rare Earth was one of the only white bands on that label.
Yeah,
they really? Might have been
I
the
didn't
only.
Know that.
Yeah, they were, I believe, the only white band on Motown's label.
Because I didn't know that they were the original ones of the song. I forgot. It was one of the black groups, Motown black groups, did this, and I thought that they were the original ones.
Yeah, Temptations either Temptations or one of the other bands, yes.
All those groups are about all the same, though.
They seem like.
Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Sarb Show. As I said, Paul Kirkman, who is standing in for Tim Jones, who will be back on Thursday. I don't know, were we talking about this on air during the break, about the government waste?
We were talking about it during the break, but okay. I want to hear about this story. I have not heard about this.
Yes, well, we were talking about government waste, and we were talking about it nationally, and I said, you know, well, there's a local story that was in the Post-Dispatch, I think yesterday or over the weekend, about this woman who ran a nonprofit that helped feed people during COVID. During the height of COVID, she had 32 distribution sites, was really doing a good job feeding the people, and then an audit came out, and come to find out that she was skimming some of the money, Paul. I think in 2020 or 2021, I think she got reimbursed from the government $20 million for helping to feed people. One of the discrepancies that they found in the report, she sent in a reimbursement. She had receipts for milk for a particular month, and I think it was 4,000 gallons. But she ended up sending in a reimbursement for 14,000 gallons worth of milk that she claimed that she bought. Some of the largesse, you guys remember the old Circuit City that was there at 270 and the St. Charles Rock Road?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, this nonprofit bought that to be their headquarters. And they also had in the story that this nonprofit also bought a $975,000 home in St. Charles for the founder of the nonprofit, and still she justified this because they have staff meetings and retreats at that home, so that's why I justify it.
I totally understand.
Her name is Connie Bobo.
Connie Bobo.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you read the article, all throughout the article, she's like, you know, my accounting standards may not have been the best. And, you know, I was a little lax on the paperwork, but I fed people and we did a good job. We fed people. But, and I think it's very interesting. We all know who, Scott Rosenblum is, right? The noted, local,
lawyer.
In the story, Mr. Rosenblum contacted the newspaper to say that, she was in the process of retaining him. So, I think she's in a little trouble.
He always gets the best cases.
Well, and the thing is, and I'm not trying to dog him out or anything, but a lot of people, you know, they talk about his success, but I've heard people say, yeah, he's just going to plead you out. He's not like getting you off of the cases. He's giving you a plea. So, I don't know. But, you know, this kind of harkens back to Chris's Corner. Hiding in plain sight. You know, be chill. You can't own a nonprofit. And then all of a sudden you're buying a $3 million building and you're buying a $1 million house. Be chill.
You know, in this article, she had this nonprofit since 2011. That's when she started it. And I think in 2019, she claimed she was able to be reimbursed by, I think, $250,000. Yeah. But she paid herself a $60,000 salary. So,
which is modest, I guess.
Which is modest. Yeah. I mean, you're getting a pretty good size amount of the money even then, right?
Well, you get a $60,000 salary, but you get a million dollar house. So it's, right, it's a nice payoff, or even Steven, in a sense.
Well, okay, so she paid herself about a quarter of the money that she was reimbursed in 2019.
Oh, okay.
But then, when COVID hit, she said that she was going to be distributing 1,000 meals a day. That's what she said she was going to be distributing. Right. But she billed the government for 2,500 meals a day. So you're not just a little off on your account. Yeah,
and that's just one example. I mean, with COVID and PPP and just the money that was being thrown around, it was just ridiculous. And I guess for some people, it was just, you know, remember what happened in the county. With the guy that was with the jail, he's trying to get COVID money for businesses. We see what happened in the city, with COVID money. I mean, COVID was just a giant slush fund.
It was. And the thing is we don't even, what we're talking about right now is like less than a fraction of a percent of all the money that was just slung out all across the country. So you know that there's people out there who've just done a much better job of getting it and hiding it, probably putting it in one nonprofit and then funneling it over to another one and paying themselves salaries out of multiple. Who knows what they're doing? But there's been so much money that's been given out. And it's going to people who are criminals. Yeah.
And those are the smart people that do what you said. I mean, the stupid people go and buy $975,000 houses. They buy $2 million buildings. I remember other instances with PPP where people got loans and the guy bought Lamborghinis and property and stuff like that. How can you not think you're going to get caught? Is what amazes me.
Well, the reason is because they're getting it from the government. And if it was my money that somebody was stealing, you better believe I would be like accounting for every penny. But the government, it's not their money. They just create money. I was, during the break, one of the things I was telling you guys about was I like to watch American Greed sometimes, which is this show on CNBC, CNBC about con artists, right? And there was this one episode that I remember watching several years ago. These two little ladies had a hardware store, and every now and then they got a government contract, and so they'd make about a couple $1,000 sending nuts and bolts from their hardware store to the government. But one month, they put the decimal point in the wrong place, total accident, and the government sent them like $100,000. And they were like, oh my goodness, this is a mistake. Mm-hmm. But they didn't say anything.
Of course.
They figured that at some point somebody in the government would realize, oh my goodness, there's $100,000 missing. Right? We're spending hundreds of billions and trillions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Nobody's looking for $100,000. So after a few months, they were just like, let's just accidentally put the decimal plate. In the end, they wound up conning the government out of tens of millions of dollars, these two little old ladies.
Oh my.
And the thing is nobody ever caught them until I think like one person in a government office somewhere, like an intern, was actually doing the work they were supposed to be doing because they were an intern, right? Yeah. And they got caught.
Well, a couple of weeks ago on a Friday night on Pocket Watching with JT, his subject was trying to deal with those loans and folks who were in jail getting the PPP loans. And there was a major story in the Chicago area at the Joliet Penitentiary. Did I pronounce it correctly?
Yeah.
Penitentiary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where a lady in jail was getting money.
I've heard stories like
and, that. And there was one in Franklin County.
Really?
I believe. Yes. Maybe a month or two ago. And JT was going through all the details, and it was hard to fathom that this was actually going on. But, Paul, like you said, the government just creates the money, and it flies out of there. Speaking of flying, I looked up the plane crash in Greece. Mm-hmm. It was in July. A Ukrainian cargo plane crashed in Greece carrying 11 tons of weapons, including mortar shells and landmines, destined for Bangladesh. All the crew members were confirmed dead. The story just kind of disappeared.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it. It's the first I've heard of it.
And you wonder how many other flights are going to other countries from Ukraine with military equipment.
Right. Paul, you always hear from politicians, especially when they're running for office, that they're going to cut taxes. They're also going to cut waste, fraud, and abuse. Is it ever really possible to eliminate waste, fraud, and abuse to the point where it's meaningful, or is that just empty campaign slogan
talk? 90% of it's empty campaign slogan talk. There are a few people that you'll run into who are really into that. Mm. I was. When I was there, I was really into that. I kind of got my rise in the Tea Party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I began to lose some of those people that were supporting me because they wanted me to hit like the Tea Party stuff or, you know, always be about guns or always be about the pro-life issue. But for me, it's the financial stuff. I was looking a lot at contracts and procurement. Right. And there's so much waste, fraud, and abuse.
Give us an example of some stuff you eliminated.
You want examples of waste, fraud, and abuse?
Yeah.
Okay, here's an example of waste, fraud, and abuse. So the Department of Transportation, let's just remember that we just raised our gasoline taxes because MoDOT needs more money, right?
Of course.
So Tom Schweik, probably arguably the best state auditor that this state has ever had.
No doubt.
Tom Schweik, who's a friend of mine in the legislature. I did a lot of work for him on some of the issues that he was bringing to the surface from these audits. He did an audit on MoDOT, and we discovered that MoDOT has something called Employee Relocation Assistance Program, which makes sense because we have to hire engineers. And if you're an engineer for the state government, you're not going to make as much money as if you're an engineer for the private sector.
Right.
So we will have perks, and I'm totally fine with that. Mm. Well, we had one employee who did not qualify for relocation assistance. But we gave them relocation assistance anyway because they weren't one of these people.
Right.
We just gave them relocation assistance anyway. But part of the relocation assistance that we gave them, which is already wasteful or if not fraudulent, this same employee owned two homes. Have you heard this?
No, I haven't.
This happened in Missouri, folks.
I didn't.
This MoDOT employee owned two homes. And so when they relocated, they decided to sell one of their homes. But when they sold their home, they sold it at a loss. And to make them feel better about having sold their second home at a loss, MoDOT cut them a taxpayer-funded check to make up the difference on the sale of their second home. There's there's one example right there, but there's a lot of other examples.
I want to know first of all, Paul, you're in the government. I want to know first of all, how in the heck is a MoDOT employee having two cribs?
That's a good question. How does a MoDOT employee afford to have? I mean, Missouri has notoriously paid our state employees less than other states have been paying their employees.
That's not sounding
right. And if we got one state employee who has two houses, there's some questions that might need to be asked.
I think there's some waste, fraud, and abuse somewhere in there, probably.
Yeah, but Chris, to answer your question, there's a few people that are really into that. It got to the point where I wanted to introduce a bill, and I did introduce a bill, and it passed the House, that would force the legislature to actually read the state auditor's audits.
Mm.
Before we cut these departments and agencies another check, let's just read their most recent audit to make sure they got out ahead of the problems that the auditor discovered in the audits. That makes sense. Couldn't even get it past the legislature.
Is there anybody, and I don't want you to put anybody on the spot or not on the spot, is there anybody in the legislature now that is fulfilling that role of a watchdog like you were?
I'm sure there's a couple people. I have not been on top of that like I was when I was in the legislature because I'm growing a business and, you know, raising a family with lots of kids and
Speaking of that, congratulations. I saw on Facebook, what's this number?
Number
12, 13?
Number 5.
Number 5, okay.
Coming up in March. But I think that there are some people in the legislature who are in kind of into that. Mm-hmm. But you have to get leadership to buy in because your bill doesn't go anywhere unless the Speaker of the House and the Senate leadership is also for it. Like, you got to get people to buy into it. And that is what is so remarkably disheartening, because the people that could just move a bill forward, it doesn't hurt them at all to move an accountability bill forward, but they just don't do it.
And then we're going to go to break. What's the budget? It was $42 billion, I think.
I thought it was closer to 47.
Was it $47 billion? And I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit, but how much of that would you say is just abuse or fraud, or we could eliminate out of that budget and could still run the government efficiently?
So probably, I think in 2014, I did a 9-city, 3-day tour. Mm-hmm. My committee, the Committee on Government Efficiency, mm-hmm. Committee on Downsizing State Government, did a tour, and we went around the whole state to listen to people. We just wanted to hear people complain about government. And the complaints that were coming in helped us find so many redundancies. And I put together a policy book that had a couple $100 million worth of savings where we could actually cut costs without cutting corners. Here's a good one. Did you know that if you go to the Capitol building in Jefferson City, the lights are always on, the escalators are always running? It could be the middle of the summer, in the middle of the night on a weekend. Nobody's there, but the lights are on. And the escalators are already running. And it's that way in many of our government buildings. There's so many different things that we could be doing just to save money, but we're just not doing it.
And you are done with political office, right?
I'm done.
All right. Maybe we'll try to convince him when we come back on the Tim Jones and Chris Tharp Show. Don't go away. We want to hear your calls, too. 314-912-1019. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Space to rent. Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Tharp Show. 5:47 on this Tuesday, November 28th. Is that correct, Stone? Is it 28th?
Today's the 29th.
I knew it. I'm always either a day early or a day behind. I can't ever get it right. And Paul Kerbin from the Paul Kerbin Show is sitting in for my partner, Tim Jones, who will be back on Thursday. And on the line, we have Scotty, who wants to talk about birthright citizenship. Scotty, how are you?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Or evening, I guess now.
Yeah.
Just to reiterate what you're talking about, birthright citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
I was stationed in Bahrain back in from 2000-2002, and my wife at the time was pregnant for our second son. A shipmate of mine had their child born in Bahrain 4 months prior to my son was born, and they had to go through hell to get that child a U.S. birth certificate. So I flew my wife back to Texas and saw our son to be born in America. But yeah, so if your child is born overseas, especially in the Middle East, you have to go through hell just to get that child a U.S. birth certificate.
That's unfortunate. So were you serving? You were serving overseas?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Then thank you for your service, Scotty.
Oh,
hey, Scotty,
go ahead.
Were you in Bahrain in October, November, and December of 2002?
Yes, I was.
All right. Yeah, I was there, too. We might have crossed paths, maybe even at the same chow hall. Who knows?
Yeah, well, I was stationed on a minesweep back then, the USS Arden.
Okay. Yeah, excellent. Scotty?
Yeah, I was there for...
Oh, go ahead.
From 2000 to 2002.
Scotty, where are you calling from, by the way?
The God's country in Lake Wapapella.
Oh, well, I thought you're the Scotty, yes. Our favorite Scotty. I thought it was you. I said during the break, I said it may be Scotty who comments, but I'm not for sure. Good to talk. I think this is the first time, that I've ever talked to you.
No, I think it's the second time.
Okay.
Once after the Texas shooting.
Excellent. Scotty, we really appreciate your support and, listening, my friend. Really
all
do. Right,
appreciate you all, and God bless y'all, and you have a great evening.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scotty.
Thank you, guys.
Yep. Bye-bye. Yeah, Scotty has been with us since the very get-go, the beginning of the show, big supporter of all the shows, and he's what helps keeps us on the air.
Yes, indeed.
You know what? Merriam-Webster, or Merriam Dictionary, has their...
name or name
word of the year.
Word of the year. Thank you, Stel.
Yeah.
Did you hear about this? You know what it is?
I do know what it is, but I don't want to spoil it for you because Kathy, my wife, gave me a list of what the words were, and yeah, that was at the. I know what the word is at the top of the list, but go ahead.
I'm really surprised because I would have thought this would have been the word of the year maybe 3 or 4 years ago, but
starts with a G.
Yes, and it is gaslighting,
whoa,
which is a quote, a deliberate conspiracy to mislead, according to Miriam. You know where I first heard the term gaslighting? Was on an old Lucille Ball episode, not the one with Desi, the one afterwards when she was divorced and her name was McGillicuddy. Remember that one? Mm. And that was an old episode, and she brought up gaslighting, where the premise of the movie was to make somebody crazy and all that. But that's the first time I had ever heard of that term, and that was when I was a little boy talking about gaslighting. Stel, you took the energy out of my thing.
I'm sorry. I should have said I didn't know anything about it.
Okay, I'm going to ask you about the...
ask Paul?
Miriam, well, Paul.
Yeah.
Paul. Merriam-Webster, they also named 8 top lookups for 2022. There are 8 top lookups. Can you guess one of them or a couple of them? Mm. What do you think the top lookups were this year?
Oh, man. Incel.
Just think Paula. Let me see.
Is
nope.
That one?
Nope.
Oh, man. That's a new one. That's a new one.
Just think politics and topics and headlines.
Transgender?
LGBTQIA.
Okay.
That's in there. What was the name of the COVID virus? Omicron is one.
Omicron? Okay.
Here's one that kind of surprises me because you didn't hear this a lot, I don't think. Oligarch? I guess during
Russian
thing,
yeah.
People looked that up. This was probably during the gay marriage debate. Codify was a word that people looked up.
People had to look up the word codify.
Codify, yeah. When here and
I wonder how many people thought it was a fish.
They probably did. Oh, give them. I have that codify over there
because I thought gaslighting was Gaslight Square. So okay,
another word that was a big lookup was sentient. Which
sentient.
Surprised
like
me.
A sentient being,
yeah.
A self-aware being.
I'm trying to think of what happened in the world, what happened in news that people were looked up sentient. Now, you know, I'm gonna show my ignorance here because one of these words I've never heard of it. I don't know what it means. Loamy, L-O-A-M-Y. Paul, you're a genius. What does loamy mean?
Loamy means.
Mm-hmm. You ever heard of loamy, Stel?
No, I have not.
I don't know what it means. I just looked it up on my computer, and I can't even find a good website that has what it means.
Loamy.
L-O-A-M-Y?
L-O-A-M-Y. Oh.
Denoting or relating to a fertile soil of clay and sand containing humus.
Hmm.
Hummus.
Now, what happened during the year where people were looking up something about sand, the humus soil.
Loamy?
Loamy.
Can't imagine.
I bet people are referring to... I bet people are using the word loamy not so much in the context of soil and sand as they are using it to describe other people.
Yeah. You're loamy. I
don't know. That doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
I think sentient beings would be... because so many folks were laying around during the 2 years of the...
Yeah.
Maybe it was AI. Maybe it was AI. Ooh. All this talk about AI. All the UFOs that have come out in the news with the Navy. Maybe people are like, oh, there's sentient beings out there.
I hate we only have a couple of minutes in this segment, but you brought up something that that I read a couple of days ago. Henry Kissinger, former Secretary of State, Nobel Peace Prize winner, he said one of the biggest dangers that he is worried about in the coming years is artificial intelligence being applied in military usage, which I found that very, very interesting that, giving missiles and things their own, hey, you go ahead and do this. Well, you know what I'm saying. You don't have someone actually directing. The artificial intelligence is making the decisions. I guess he's worried about a
Odyssey 2000 HAL situation where HAL takes over ship.
Yeah, that would be really weird. I can see it being in the sense of if every different country has their own artificial intelligence that immediately responds to other things happening, because then we could really see a domino effect happen real fast, right? Yeah. Like when the stock market crashed in 1987, it was all computer generated.
Right.
Just one after the other. They were all like taking signals from other computers. I could see something like that.
I've never seen the movie, but have you heard about HAL from Odyssey 2000?
Yes.
That HAL took over the ship?
Yes.
What does he say, Stell? He's like, they're like telling him, it's like, HAL, what are you doing? He's like, I'm taking over. It's just his voice is just so calm. It's like, I'm taking over the ship now.
That's kind of creepy.
What was Odyssey 2000? What was it about, Stell?
I honestly don't remember.
Do you?
No.
I remember hearing the movie, but I had never watched it.
1968?
Yeah. I was 2 years old when I was alive.
I was in high school.
2001 A Space Odyssey is a 1968 film.
I just think back then in 1968, 2001 was like so, so far away. I remember when I was in high school in early 1980s, 1982, and when 1999 by Prince came out. And it was like, of course it was a jam. It was a hit. But you couldn't even fathom like 1999. That is so, so far off in the distance.
It's 2022 right now. Yeah. And like, it seems like just yesterday it was 1999.
Yeah.
And we're wondering what's the world going to be like in 22 years.
I was talking about that. It was like, man, it's hard to believe. We're like 22 years into 2000. Seemed like yesterday we were wondering, was the world going to collapse?
And
Y2K.
Because they don't, couldn't,
that's right.
Couldn't tell. Does that have to be one of the all-time busts of all time?
Seriously. I was at an afterglow at my church.
Oh, were you?
Yep. And I thought it'd be really funny to turn the lights out.
Ah.
And it was pretty good. And then I was like, well, what if they don't come back on? I didn't realize the predicament I had put myself in. Fortunately, they came back on.
How worried were you guys? Were you worried that the computers were going to shut, the world was going to shut
because
down?
Because the radio station I was at, all the engineers were there, and they were concerned about what was going to happen. And we made it through it okay. But yeah, I was a bit concerned, yes.
Don't go away. When we come back, we'll talk with David Stokes from the Show Me Institute. You're listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Sarp Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome home.
Thanks for being with us, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.